show, we pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we implore you tonight that you might instruct us concerning these words of wisdom which have been given us by vindication, Lord. We know they're true, but perhaps we do not know the truth of them, Lord. We should know what they say, else how will we know the direction to take, Lord, or how will we know what to believe? But you're able to help us, and you said you would, Lord. You'd bring it to our remembrance, but bringing it to remembrance is not sufficient, Lord. We must have understanding. We pray you'll give us understanding, which is revelation, Lord, concerning what the prophet said. And we'll give you the glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, we're up to about number 13 on Shalom. And last Sunday we read where Brother Branham informed us that he was now going to speak about the light that has come, which he said presses upon the darkness. And according to him, thereby separates the people and forms two groups of people. And when we follow his thought, we can believe none other than that light is a generation or seed unto God, and that darkness is another kind of generation or seed that flees from the pressing light. Now, of course, they're identified by what they believe. The acceptance of the vindicated word of God reveals or manifests those who are the children of light or the children of God. And the same word's rejection classifies the rejectors as the children of darkness or those seeds sown by the enemy. Now let's just read some scripture so you'll know what we're looking at here. And we go to 1 John, the first chapter. And read verse 5 says, "And this then is the message which you have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." All right. 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, and the 5th verse. "Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness." Now, with 2 Corinthians, <clears throat> 6:14, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness?" Then in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, 8th verse, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light." Also in Matthew, 6th chapter, and 22 and 23, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness?" And then over in Luke, the 11th chapter, 33 to 36, "No man, when he lighted a candle, put it into a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thine whole body is full of light. When thine eye is evil, thy body is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body, therefore, be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light." Now, this is a vindication theorem and reveals how and why that Revelations 1 or 5, 1 to 5 is followed by Revelation 10, 1 to 7 and produces a bride of Malachi 3:16, which in turn are the omega of 2 Corinthians 11, 1 to 3, which in turn are the wise virgins of Matthew 25. Now what we're saying there is, having read the scripture, to show you that God is light, and therefore in him is no darkness. And Brother Branham has categorized, whether you noticed it or not, the particular fact that the gathering together of darkness and being pressed by the light is not necessarily and only a matter of simply the word, but it is a matter of the light holders themselves, because it says in God is no darkness. And it mentions that these are children of darkness, and so therefore in God is no serpent seed, in God is nothing, which at all would be anything outside of that word. We're talking in terms of a bride now. And we find that the children of light clearly identified with God as his seed. We saw the scripture that shows that. And what we're looking at here in Brother Branham speaking of this message, and especially in Shalom here, we are into a vindication theorem that has an alpha and omega. Now, let's go to Revelation, the fifth chapter. Perhaps we'll read the first five verses. And I saw on the right hand him that sat in the throne a book written within, and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaim with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven or in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and read the book, neither look thereon. And one of the elders said to me, "Weep not, for behold, the Lion, the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loosen the seals thereof." And I beheld, lo, in the midst of the throne, and so on. This one came, which was the Lamb of God. He took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And then over here in Revelation 10, 1 to 7, you notice that the same one with the rainbow round his, over his head comes down to earth, and he has in his hand a little book which opens, and out of it comes the thunders, and out of it comes the mysteries. Now, this produces a bride of Malachi 3:16. We looked at this many times. That's why we're not going into very deep tonight. And then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name, and they should be mine, saith the Lord of hosts. Indeed, when I make up my jewels, now spare them as a man spares his own son that serves him. Then shall you return and discern between between righteousness and wickedness, and between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Now we took you then to 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. And Paul is speaking there to what was a virgin bride. He said, "Here, I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, as by any means as a serpent beguiled, leave your subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted than simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, you receive another spirit, which you not receive another gospel, which you have not accepted, he might well bear with him." So what we're seeing here is coming down from our genealogy of God, who is all light. And God is the Word. They're synonymous, one and the same, Logos and Rhema. You're coming down to a group of people who are identified such as the children of light. And there was a virgin church in the beginning, wherein they were all children of light, though they were in darkness, the same as we were in darkness. They came to a place of virginity at the time when Paul brought them the Word, which was the vindicated Word of Almighty God. And that has to happen at the very end time. And it does happen according to Matthew 25. Because over in 2 Corinthians 11 chapter, there's great doubt as to whether they're going to make it. And it says here in chapter 25 of Matthew, "At midnight there was a cry made," verse 6, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." And that's not what it says. It says, "Behold the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." All the virgins rose, trimmed their lamp. The foolish said, "Give us oil," and so on. They didn't have a container for the oil, which is the word of God. They had the old word, and the oil leaked out. And while they went to make ready, the door was shut. They went into the marriage. You notice in verse 11, afterward came the other virgin saying, Lord, open to us. And he said, I used to know you as my wife, but I don't know you as my wife anymore. But there was a group there that went in. So, all right, they go to God in the great wedding supper of the Lamb. Now, the separation of the wise and foolish and unbelievers is also categorically seen in 2 Thessalonians, the whole book. And what we're looking at are people separated. There are people separated at the end time. And there's a group that's going to go in, there's a group that's not going to go in, and we want to find out exactly what that difference is. And Brother Branham said one group is light and one group is darkness. Now, what makes the difference? Well, we're seeing, of course, it is the Word of God. Now, let's read in 2 Thessalonians. We can sort of take our time here. Paul says, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We're bound to thank God always, you brethren, as is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly and the love of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. So that we ourselves glory in you and the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecution and tribulation that you endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer, seeing it's a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation them that trouble you. And your trouble rests with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed in heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now remember, there's two things going on there. He's coming to two groups of people. One which are suffering, as Paul suffered as a heretic for the word of God, because that's why they suffered. It wasn't what they did, it's what they believed and what they said. The other group here are in opposition. So two things are happening then. First of all, one thing is happening. Someone is coming. That's God is coming to recompense, to deliver those, his own, and to judge those who are not. Now let's keep reading to see about it. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction in the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Now you're getting a clue right there, see? Wherefore also we pray always for you that God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the presence or the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him. Now there's a gathering together. That you soon not be shaken in mind to be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letters from us, as the day of Christ at hand. Now therefore this gathering has something to do with the Word, with the Spirit, and some information that somebody's purported to bring. As though saying, well, all right, now we've got something different we want to bring you from what Paul brought you. See, that's Brother Branham said, I brought what Paul brought. Let no man deceive you any means, for the day shall not come except to come falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Who opposed and exalt himself above all that's called God or his worship, so that he is God, sit in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery maketh already work, only he that hindereth will hinder be taken out of the way. In other words, God just takes his hands off. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy the brightness of his coming. Even him was coming after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Now you notice, up in here there's a gathering together, and there is another gathering together, which signifies a separation based upon what Brother Branham categorically told us was the angels coming down and Christ in the midst of them. All right? Even him was coming, he's after the working Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. In other words, you will notice that it is not just the truth, it is the love of the truth. Now, there's where real love starts. If you really don't love this word, there's no place you're going to go from that point on, because the separation is already taking place because of that. That's why every church must be based upon the word. You've got to start there as your love that unifies you. And if you're critical of that which is brought forth, all you do is hurt yourself. There's no way there's going to be unity. Now, I know many churches are striving for unity in a way that we're not striving. And I'm not saying we're different, to try to be different. But this is the only way I can see this. I cannot see it any other way. If it doesn't come out of here, it's not going to come. Or if what does come, you won't want it. Because that's not what God wants. See, they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. In other words, the great separation takes place because they hate the truth. See? All right. And for this cause, God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe the lie. Now, when they hate the truth, they will love the lie. Now, I don't care who you are. You can say, well, I'm going to sit on a fence. I've told you for years, you can't sit on a fence. It's not only mighty uncomfortable, there's no fence to sit on. The corner's been turned. Now, whether you think you're on a fence or not, you're wrong. It's time to awake to righteousness and know what righteousness is all about. Now, they are going to be damned because they believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Then what is unrighteousness? Being off the truth. Just what Brother Branham said. Just what John says. Now look it over here. He's going to come in flaming. He's coming in flames of fire. He's going to avenge or judge between. This sets it up for the time when he speaks of here the punishment and destruction. But that doesn't come until there's a time for the people to decide, what are we going to believe at the end time? And that makes the difference. Now, watch it says in 13, but we are bound to give thanks always to God through brethren, beloved of the Lord. Because God from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, or even the belief of the truth. In other words, there's a group that will believe, there's a group that won't believe. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now he tells you here, one's going to be destroyed. First chapter, 10 verse. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and be admired in all them that believe because of our testimony was believed. See? So he's telling you here, the whole thing depends upon your attitude to what is the truth and to what is the lie. That's where you start. And from that time on, your attitude will take you in either direction. All right. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now, Paul's taking this from the very first to the very end. He started with the virgin bride. He said, I'm already fearful that he said, you're going to be all messed up. I've espoused you, but you've gone astray. And the bride goes astray for seven church ages. But it's got to come back. And the coming back depends upon that happening there. The angels coming down. The mighty messenger coming down at the end time. Revelation 10, 1 to 7. With, of course, Revelation 10 and 7 standing there, which is over here, the prophet. And the pillar of fire over him, see? Now, you are, the division comes in this way. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Notice that word comes first, not works. Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. Notice what he said there. The word of the Lord may not be bound. See, and be glorified, even as it is with you. In other words, you give it the preeminence it deserves, where Rhema and Logos are one and the same. Now, you'll get people running around, and you're, oh, Logos, Logos, Logos. They say, then, you see, they don't want the Rhema, though. Oh, Brother Branham made mistakes. Now, I got to set them right. Now, don't come around me with that, because you're liable to have your head knocked off with a 4x4. And if I can't get it, I've got enough people here that would be just as mean as me. And they'll be glad to help me. Because I'm not playing some foolish thing with this. This is life and death. You may wonder why this pulpit is carefully guarded. It's because of that very thing right there. I don't know what everybody believes. I hear things that makes me wonder. I hear what kids believe, preachers' kids believe. Oh, my God, I wonder what that preacher believes when I hear what his kids say. And you have to, no way getting this pulpit here. Or I'd come right behind. Come right behind. Listen, if I've got to stand here and account for people's lives, spiritual life and death, then I'm going to know what I'm doing, and I'm going to do it. It says right here. Now, that we may be, listen, we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not the faith. All don't have a revelation. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things that we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God, into the patient waiting for Christ. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourself from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. In other words, a disorderly walk, to begin with, is absolutely disorderly according to revealed faith. That's what it is. That's exactly where Cain went. Now remember, you can many times use that word K, which is a conjunction, as a preposition, and even and use the word as even. Now you withdraw yourself from every brother that walked disorderly, even not after the tradition that he received, which you received of us. See, now what did Paul say? He said, they are after me because I worship according to a certain way, the understanding, the true tradition, which they call a heresy. That's exactly the same with Jesus. We do not kill you because of a good deed that you're doing. We kill you because you dared to open your mouth and say something contrary. Why did the Roman Catholic Church kill people? They killed them because the doctrine was spot. Exactly why did Calvin bring Servetus to before the judges and he was burnt at the stake? Calvin said he didn't want him burnt because he defied Calvin on the doctrine of the Godhead. It wasn't what Servetus did. He was a doctor, an actual medical doctor, a very brilliant person. I think he was a Spaniard. But he was burnt at the stake for his faith. Now, Paul says, you receive us, for yourselves know how we ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might be chargeable to you. In other words, showed his sincerity. Not because we have not authority, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. And even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any man would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now what is he talking about? He's talking about people who should be holding down jobs and not running around trying to tell people what the Word of God says. Now, that may be pretty tough talk, but I've seen it a lot of places. Man, many times I heard a man say, well, if I don't do you any good, it won't do you any harm. Well, who needs a person that can't do somebody some good in the pulpit? If I wanted something neutral, I don't know what I really want, but why would I want something neutral? The people aren't to be put in the neutral position. Paul has already said, awake thou the sleepers and rise amongst the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Is to get the people in a position where they're moving forward. And you cannot move forward outside of this word. I don't care who you are. Now, you may have your own ideas and you can harbor them, but I tell you, one of us is going to miss the rapture. Because you can't, on my understanding, you just can't bypass this word of God. Brother Branham was 100% with Paul. See? Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. In other words, let's put this flat. If you don't understand this word, you're just better to work And this goes for a congregation, and don't try to tell anybody something you don't know. That's what Brother Branham said, you should always go to the pastor for doctrine. But Paul the Apostle said in one place, by the time you ought to be teachers, you still need to be taught. And although that's true in this church here, I feel myself there are those who are well able to instruct others, especially in the milk of the doctrine, and show them those things which the prophet certainly set forth, and we understand vindication and all those things. But it's a warning here for people that to be, actually, many times, it is best to keep the mouth shut, keep the sweat pouring from the brow, and the hands calloused, than to think, well, I'm going to take a lot of time off and talk to people. So that's not it at all. You've got to know what you're saying, because you can lead somebody astray. So you got to be very careful. That's why talking together at nights in your meetings are very good. And you can pretty well tell which way anybody's going. Now, I don't try to snoop around and find did anybody say this or that, because I'm not interested. That's up to you to see what you do with it. I'll let you just know where you're going. How far are you in this word? See? Because you can see the crux of the whole thing. See, there's Brother Banner speaking of light and darkness. He said the light is pressing the darkness. Now, you just cannot put this in terms of a figure of speech. You've got to get it right down to where something is going on. It's actually the bride is coming together, and they are light in the Lord. They are Trinite. They are light because they are a part of the Word. They're light. And together the bride constitutes a great light. They constitute that real great light of God. Now, the darkness are those people also that are coming together, and they are turning from the Word, and the Word is what is making the decision. Now, but you, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And if any man obey not or worried by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he might be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. You can take that both ways there. And that is to say, if a man doesn't say, well, I only believe the Word this much, don't believe all the way, well, Brother Branham said, don't unchristianize, but at the same time, you're not going to throw your lot with him. You've got to let the person know where you stand. Until the person can, if he is going to have something he feels is right, then he'll respect your stand. Both people, I don't say that they'll both get to the same ultimate, but both people will come where Brother Branham finally came, where he said, it's not that I'm going to hate that person or rise up against him or have any ill feeling toward him. He said, the Holy Spirit won't be with me to help. He said, I've got to keep my love and my attitude correct toward that man. But remember, the correct attitude to begin with is an unshakable faith in a vindicated Word. And if you don't have that, and then you talk to people, you'll get snowed right away. They'll just take you over. And nobody wants that to happen. That would be a very, very bad thing. All right. Now, these three chapters we read here bring us right back to Revelation, the fifth chapter, where we see the Mighty One who takes the book in Revelation 10, where it comes down to earth, and then where the seals are broken and the thunders thunder, bringing forth what has been unrevealed in the Word of Almighty God. That is how the darkness is separated from the light. In other words, we find truth separated from error. We find people separated from people. Now, let's go back to the book of Luke, the 10th chapter. 1-24. After these things, the Lord appointed also other 70, and sent them out two by two before his face in every city and place where he would come himself. Therefore he said unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, he shall send forth laborers in his harvest. Go your ways, behold, I send you forth as lamb amongst wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes. Salute no man by the way. Whatever house ye enter, pray first. Enter first, say, peace be on this house. If the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon. If not, it shall turn to you again. And the same house remain eating and drinking such things as they give, for the labor is worthy his hire. Go not from house to house. And in whatever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before, and heal the sick that are there. And said to them, the kingdom of God has come unto you. But unto whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you not, go your way in the street of the same, and say, even the very dust of your city which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. Now, according to the actual old ancient tradition, that really means this, that there, the dust of malice of that place against the Word And the vindication of God means you shake it off. In other words, don't let anything stick to you. See? Now, I've seen it happen with people who get zealous, and they engage in argument and talk over this word, and they can't handle it. And the first thing from that person begins to stick on them. I was in California, years ago now, just right after Brother Branham deceased. This fellow, he was some kind of a preacher with his brother in some kind of oneness church. And he was supposed to believe the message. And so he went up into the interior, ways up around past Redding, California, up near the wilderness area, beautiful area. And there was a guy named, I think his name was Hodge, a Seventh-day Adventist came in to talk with him. And this man began talking about Brother Branham. And before it was over, this fellow Hodge had this guy that said he believed Brother Branham worshiping on Saturday. See, he let the dust of malice, he let the dust, the rottenness of that get onto him. How in the world can you believe in Seventh-day Adventists and believe in William Branham? You can't even be in your right mind to believe that a day would take the place of the Holy Ghost. But you might as well just eat something and say, well, that's it. You might as well be Roman Catholic. Well, I'm going to turn this water and wine and bread. I've got the blood and body of Jesus. Look at me now. Hallelujah. You crazy and hoot owl. But the same people excoriate the Catholics. Can't they see their own folly? No, they can't see their folly. They're blinded. They have a woman prophetess. No woman ever had the word of God. Politics, yes, but never the word of God. She can't handle it. See, you won't do it. The church never could handle it. They got to have the Holy Ghost. Now we're reading a little further here. One to you, Chorazin. One to Bethsaida. For if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which had been done to you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth ashes. It'd be more tolerable Tyre and Sidon than judgment you. And now current Capernaum, which are exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell. He that heareth you heareth me. He that despises you despises me. He that despises me despises him that sent me. Think of that. The 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Brother Branham said, that was the power of the early church when he sent these people out. Absolutely shook Satan's kingdom right to the core and shook him from the high places. See? What about in this end time then? Behold, I have given you power to tread on serpents and scorpions over power and power over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice that the spirits are subject, that rejoice not the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In that same hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Lord, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Lord, even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. And all things are delivered to me and my Father. And no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. And he turns disciples unto privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings desire to see the things you see, have not seen them, and hear the things which you hear, and have not heard them. Now, this was Omega. This is what happened back there in the days of Jesus Christ. Now, let's go back to Matthew 12. I mean, that was Alpha back there. I think I said Omega. That was Alpha. Let's go back and see Omega. That was the Alpha. Okay? The Omega is based upon the Alpha. Beginning in verse 15. When Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitude followed him to heal them all. He charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled what was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Behold, my servant, my chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased, I put my spirit upon him. And he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. That happened right there when he came down with the mighty angels. He shall not strive nor cry. Neither any man shall hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break. A smoking flax shall he not quench. Till he send forth judgment unto victory. Just what it says in 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust. Now, what are you looking at in all of that? You are looking at the fact of a vindicated word. Because that's exactly how the judgment takes place. That's how the people are separated. It's a word that does it. The word of the Lord God. It happened back there. It's got to happen now. It was vindicated back there. It's vindicated now today. Now, We have seen who the light in the Lord are. Those that are light in the Lord are differentiated as true seed, truly born again. And by them we can see who the darkness is. They're the ones outside the Lord. So it's a matter of seed. It's a matter of seed and revealed word. It's a matter of non-seed with unrevealed word, of having rather dogma and creeds. Okay. So I think that's what we're looking at for a while concerning what Brother Branham said, that the darkness being separated from the light, and we know there are true groups of people. We know a word is doing it. We saw all through Scripture what does it. It's a revelation that does it. All right. Now we can take time for something else Brother Branham said, and it's on page 20. We read it last Sunday, paragraphs 112 and 13. When we see darkness settling, darkness just before day, we know that the morning star is hanging on to introduce the coming sun. That's when the morning star shines. It's the going between. It's always dark. It's just a few minutes before day. The blackout comes. The moon fails to shine. The darkest before day is because the light is pressing the darkness. But the morning star comes out and says, good morning, shalom. That's he amongst us, his word being identified, shalom. The great day is fixing to break. When the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair, when his chosen ones should gather at home beyond the sky, when the rolls call up yonder, I'll be there. Our names are on his book. We'll be there. Shalom. Good morning. Peace be unto you. Now, we notice that Brother Branham mentions two sources of light. And one light, which is the morning star, indicates that the sun or great and true source of light, which comes with the day, is now upon us or close upon us. It's in actual proximity, and we should be, in fact, soon in his full light and one with it. In fact, the coming of the sun is identified with the coming of the day, so that we can readily say that they are actually the same, for God is light, and light is day. So we're looking at the fact of that great coming. And that's one way we're looking at it. Remember, with Brother Branham used language that you can take in various ways. God is all in all, and so the millennium, or new day, is in God. That's what he is. Everything's in Christ, Brother Branham said. Thus we wait on God to come, for with and in him is the millennium. And that's when it starts. Now, Brother Branham says this about the morning star. It is the darkest before day, because the light is pressing the darkness. But the morning star comes out and says, shalom. What does that mean? That is, he amongst us, his word identified, shalom. The great day is fixing to break. Now, in other words, we are not yet in the millennium. But according to Brother Branham, we are being ushered in under the seventh seal that is going on now. And it is taking place, strangely, as Omega, the same as it did in the Alpha. And that's over in Luke 1:17. Concerning John the Baptist, let's take 16. And many of the children of Israel, doesn't say all of them now, this is elect, shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, even the disobedient to the wisdom just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now this is a perfect truth as seen in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. Now what he said here about the morning star, he said, that is he amongst us, his word identified. All right? The great day is in the breaking process. Now, Brother Branham took this for the rapture. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Okay? 2 Thessalonians. You could read the first verse. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ at the presence and our gathering unto him. Then 7 to 10, we read it. The mischief of already work on he that hinder will hinder be taken out of the way. Then shall the wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. All right? With that, which I've already read, is that first verse by our gathering. Now, you'll notice in here, as I already previously showed you, that the gathering of the bride is the coming out of the foolish, of the wise virgin to behold the bridegroom, is the receiving of truth that will put them in the millennium. It's a call by the gospel. Now, we'll put this all together as time goes on, because I have a tremendous amount of scripture, of course, reading to you. We're going to go to 2 Peter 1:15 to 21, because we're looking at this one that's in our midst. He's the one that came down. He came down with a shout. The shout has to be the revealed word of truth, because it's going to separate the people. It's going to gather one group to him. It's going to push the other group to the Antichrist. All right? In 2 Peter 1:15 beginning, moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. For you have not followed cunning devised fables, when he made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, for I witness his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice from the excellent glory, that this is my beloved Son whom I well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a word of prophecy made more sure. In other words, if that was sure back there, what is coming is even more sure. Now, notice he says, whereunto you do well to take heed. There's something coming that is going to vindicate that promise. See? And you take heed to it. As unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Now, you're to look at this as a light until something happens to you, whatever this is, that makes the prophecy concerning this time far more sure than the time when Peter, James, and John had it brought to them concerning the coming of the kingdom, which was only Jesus revealed in his power, but not the kingdom. The kingdom wasn't there. Only he was revealed as the coming figure for the coming kingdom. Knowing this verse, that no prophecy that no prophecy of scripture of any private interpretation. For prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And he's telling us here that there has got to be somebody moved by the Holy Ghost that's going to be responsible for whatever is necessary to make this a greater surety than what was even back there. Now, this is what Brother Branham was quoting from, what I read. Now notice, first of all, verse 18. And this voice, which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. Now, number one, there was an actual transfiguration before him. Then there was an actual voice of explanation that put the two together. So this is what Peter's emphasizing, the voice from heaven preceding the glorification that is necessary for the millennium. He's telling you here, something took place according to Scripture. We were there. It was a tremendous thing. There was a manifestation. There was a voice from heaven. That is all true. We're telling you the truth, but there's something far greater than that. And what is greater than that? the actual coming and the kingdom. This here is merely type. You're looking for anti-type. Now, where do you go for that? You go to another witness in the Bible, which is Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Reading from verse 18. All right, for we are not come unto the mount that might be touched, that burnt with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which the voice when they had heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. So we're not coming to that. Something literal like that. And something which you're going to not want. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as the beast touched the mountain, it should be stoned or thrust through the dark. So terrible the sight, Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. Now listen, what do you come to? You're not come to that. You're come to Mount Zion, unto the city living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to a numerous company of angels, the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all. Now when does that take place? In the book of Revelation. 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter. And to the spirits of just men made perfect. You've come right to that place, and they without us cannot be made perfect. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of spring that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For if he escaped not or refused him that spoke on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. All right? The voice from heaven. The voice from heaven comes down in Revelation 10 and 1 and opens the seals, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, at the time that voice comes, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. What's he talking about? This is the renewing of the heavens and the earth. When that took place, it all started to fall into place. And there's nothing more to be done. Everything that happened there and the word that came must now follow through. You can't change it. You can't turn the clock back. There's no way you can stop it. Time and eternity have joined. And this word yet once more signifieth the shaking of those things, the removing of those things that are shaken, and of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God, except with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. That's what he is in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. The one that came down with the voice. See? All right. Now, also note that according to Peter, we go back to Peter there, in verse 19, that the word of prophecy is made more sure, even more sure than what he saw and testifies to us. Now, watch what he says. As unto a light that shineth in a dark place, it's made more sure, see? Unto you do well to take heed. Whatever it is that makes that prophecy more sure to you than even back there. As unto a light that shines in a dark place, it's intermediary until the day dawn. And that's when you're to keep looking. And the day star arises in your hearts. Okay, the day star rising in our heart. And Brother Branham said, this means Christ among us. His word being identified, which of course brings us to the millennium. So, the day star arising in our hearts has to do what Brother Branham said, Christ among us. I'll read it right here. But the morning star comes out and says, good morning, shalom. Now, what does that mean? That's He amongst us, His word being identified, shalom. So, there is a period of time in here that's called the time of the morning star, before the actual sun comes, that people know to be greater than the Mount Transfiguration, and they can hang on to it knowing that it'll bring them where they're supposed to be. Now, this brings us, Christ identified amongst us, brings us to the millennium. This recalls to us the third Exodus, when Brother Branham said God did not only accompany Moses into Egypt to manifest by signs and wonders only, but He Himself appeared as a pillar of fire on Mount Sinai, so today He has His picture taken. All right? Now, what is Christ here for? To vindicate His word that must come forth. He is here to prove that He Himself is to give the vindicated message. Thus, word or logos was here first, as in 1933, to come more and more into the church until He's the head of it, according to Revelation 10 and 1, ending up with Revelation 22, 10, and to the end of the chapter. And He said to me, seal not the sayings of the prophets of this book, for the time is at hand. Now you see, when the seals were open, the thunders came, the book cannot be resealed. So from that time on, there is nothing left but moving right into the future. See, the millennium and the eternity. Seal not the sayings of the prophet's book, for the time is in hand. Time that's run out. He that's unjust is unjust still. That's what He said right there. Filthy, filthy still. Righteous, righteous. Holy, holy. Then notice, I am yet to come my reward with me to give every man according as his work shall be. And I'm Alpha and Omega. What I did before, I'm going to do again at the very end. Blessed are they that wash their robes, the bride that has the integrity to stand in the waters of separation, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. There's something that has to do with the robes that gets you to immortality. And that's 1 Corinthians 15. We must put it on. And Brother Branham said, bring on your holy vesture with the holy word of God standing there. Brother Branham dressing a bride, getting her ready, making ready a people prepared for the Lord. They were prepared, but they weren't ready. In John's day, they were prepared, but they weren't ready. So something has to come to get them ready. Now, what was it that got the wise virgins ready? Come out. Behold the bridegroom. Come out. There was a separation. What does the separating? The word does the separating. How do you know it's the right word? Because it's a vindicated word. See? Without her dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, adulterers, whosoever liveth and maketh a lie. Jesus said, I sent mine angel to testify these things unto the church. See? He's got a messenger to do it. Seventh church age messenger. I'm the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star. He's identifying Himself as to who He is. What is rising in our hearts? What is rising in our hearts, number one, because these things can change, is the absolute conviction of a revealed word of Almighty God. The Spirit and the bride say, come. You're coming right back. Come out of her, my people. Come out and behold Him. Let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. Now, you've got to know what you're hearing, and then you can be a part of the word and tell others. Let him that is athirst come, having been given the water of life, but those that know it. And whosoever will, we don't know who they are. Anybody can come from anywhere. God's elect. Now watch. For I testify to every man that hears the words of the prophet's book. That's the book opened. Not previous. The book opened. See? If any man shall add to these things, God will add to him the plagues. That couldn't happen any other time because this is the great tribulation. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of the prophecy, God will take away his part out of the book of life, out of the holy city, and the things written in his book. Now, notice that Peter says there's something at the end time even greater in the sense of the positiveness of what is to transpire. Because Jesus said, some of you shall not taste death until you see the Son of Man come in his power, in his kingdom. And all they did was get a glimpse of it. But that was the picture of the Son of Man, and he's going to come in his kingdom. That's the great thing. And it's going to be made 100% sure by the voice that spoke from heaven that causes the day star to rise in our hearts until we literally meet him in the air and come back here in the millennium. Now, that's one way you're looking at this thing, so let's just follow that through. All right, listen. The Logos came here in 1933. Now, back to 2 Peter. I read it to you and talked about it, 1:19. We have also a word of prophecy made more sure. See, run to you, do well, that you take heed. It's going to be a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. Now, Brother Branham told us what that day star was. And we already quoted you over here in Luke, the first chapter, 1:17. And he's going to turn the hearts of the children to the Lord, and he'll go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. This man, this prophet of the end time, is going to be in the spirit of Elijah. He'll have to be a prophet, and he's going to turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers, which is give them a word of revelation, which will make them prepared to win the rapture. Now, you can look at this any way you want. You can say, well, I'm going to do so-and-so to make it come to pass. You'll find it here where Brother Branham says you don't do a thing about it. Now, the day star to us then is number one, accepting the vindicated presence of Christ, the Logos. Because before that came, it was a sign in the hand, a little teeny bird. Then it was the reading of men's hearts, which was discernment, which was the doves. But when it came to the Word of God, it was a bunch of angels that came, which were Holy Ghost embodiment, representing the seven church age messengers, or the seven spirits from before the throne, because Brother Branham said the Holy Spirit swept into the room and then called it one of those angels. So you can't go by what the prophet said. All right. Number one, the day star to us then is accepting the vindicated presence of Christ. That was thus that the Lord never failed. Number two, this in turn, this opened the way to the vindicated and revealed Rhema. Notice, Logos was before Rhema. It's always been that way. Well, listen closely. Number one, first is the vindicated Logos, just as it was before the word came to Moses. Logos was in the burning bush. Logos was in the wonderful signs. Then Logos himself stood there in the pillar of fire and talked to Moses. Scared the people two-thirds to death. Just the same as it was in Paul's time. The Logos appeared and says, I am Jesus. Then took him to the wilderness and gave him Rhema. See? Because Rhema's that word. Now, that first step, if accepted, is the light pointing to another and greater light. That is the day star, vindication theorem. And here he is among us, absolutely, thoroughly, and positively revealed. Two, second is revealed Rhema, based on two vindications. The two vindications was the sign in the hand and the discerning. See? Number three, Logos and Rhema are one, and we are one with Logos and Rhema, and therefore we see ourselves as the answered prayer of Jesus, who could only pray according as his Father led him, because in John 10:14 and 12:10, he said, I can only say, let me read it to you, and I'll get it right. 14:10, believest thou not I am in the Father me? The words I speak unto you, speak not of myself. But the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Now listen, right there stood the Son, and the Father was in him. What do you think is in there? I don't care what form and manifestation he comes in, what office, it's still God behind it. Now he said, all I can say is what the Father tells me to say. Now listen to him pray in John 17, 20 and 26. Now, neither pray I for these alone, the disciples, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Now, never mind through their word. Let's put it right down to the fact of word. Because though people didn't believe because of their word, it was a witness. But how many people during the ages had the witness of the apostles? They couldn't do it. It was simply God moving their hearts and bringing them by the gospel message, by the word. Now we've got a word at the end time. Now listen. Now watch. Believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. They also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them and thou in me, that they may be perfect in one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. Now, if that isn't just a mixed up bunch of words you ever heard in your life, what's he saying? Listen, let's read up here. I in them and thou in me, that they may be perfect in one, and the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Then he says, O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, and I have known thee, and these have known thou hast sent me. World isn't going to know. What's it is? It's light pressing the darkness. That's all I can see here. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou love me may be in them, and I in them. That's at the end time. The name to the Gentiles. You're right back here to a super manifestation at the end time that declares the full glory of God by an absolute perfect vindication. Brother Brown speaks of identification later on. But here you can see at this time, we have an absolute identification with God. See? So therefore, as I said already, Logos and Rhema are one, and we are one with Logos and Rhema, and therefore we see ourselves as the answered prayer of Jesus, who could only say and pray according to the Father's words. See the identification, that we are one, and the world will know it. At what time are they going to know it? When we bring the word? No, they'll come against it. And the bride gets out of here, they'll know something happened. Absolutely, you got to take the thing in turn. Just like this here coming down. Did we know what it was all about till it explained to us? When it was all over, there was no way we did. This is the identification Brother Branham speaks of later. Now that vindication has come, it is no longer necessary having served its purpose. Now there you are right there. I don't know how many people can take that in this message here. No, they got to have something more, something more, something more. When vindication has served its purpose, which it has, for the word has come. And Brother Branham said, under the seventh seal, the seals which broke, we have everything all ready to put us into the rapture. What more are you looking for? There's no way, Brother Sister. Now that vindication has come, it is no longer necessary, having served its purpose. The word is here and takes all precedence. And nothing else obtains. Now let's go back to the book of Romans, the fourth chapter. 13-25. For the promise that he should be heir of the word was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. And he hasn't got it yet even. So there's got to be somebody here to claim it till he gets back. Somebody's got to be here. Some seed of Abraham's got to be standing here walking on it. See? For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect, because the law worketh wrath. For where no laws, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not to that only which is the law, but that also which is the faith of Abraham, was the father of all. God tells you right here, it's of faith that it might be by grace. And that cinches the promise for us to get the earth back. As it's written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickens the dead and calls those things that be not as though they were, who, when hope was gone, hoped on in faith, that he might become the father of nations, many nations, according to that which is spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, notice, he considered not his own body now dead. When he's about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not the promise of God to unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Now the sure word of prophecy is this. Have we come to the place where we know positively that this is it? This is the end of it. There's got to come a people whose faith is so monumentally of God that it puts every single thing to one side. There is nothing that can change the person's mind as the seed of Abraham. Absolutely, there is no staggering. There is no unbelief. There's giving glory to God. It is a full persuasion based on the voice from heaven. Thoroughly vindicated. That back there was the Alpha, the type, and this is the Omega, which is the anti-type. See, look, you cannot separate white throne from this hour. You cannot separate the millennium. You cannot separate New Jerusalem. Because God calls those things which are not as though they were at the time of the raising of the dead, and this is it. And everybody's looking down the road. This church cannot afford to look down the road. You look here. Abraham said, I've got that sunset over 25 years until God himself came down just like that with two angels flying. And said, this is it. And you couldn't switch Abraham. There was no more any chance he could even touch his wife sexually to procreate a child. Wouldn't have done him any good anyway. His wife was completely shot. Didn't faze him one bit. He says, vindicated. Now listen, brother, sister, that's the day star rising in your heart, man. That's when God begins to move and take over, based upon a vindication. In other words, it's all in the hands of God, and we look at it. Are we the bride being prepared? Are we that prepared bride being made ready? So I'm looking for this, and I'm looking for that. That's exactly where you're wrong. Brother Van says, sit right here and look at this till I come back. That has a twofold purpose. When the writing inside from that great mountain of Word of God, the cap ripped off, like that pyramid, looking inside and bringing out the truth of the Word of God. Now he said, stand there and look at that. And that's what we do. We stand there and wait till he comes back, and he will be back. He'll be the first number according to my understanding of Scripture, the last first, the first last. The dead of the seventh church age coming back. And we stand and look at this word right here, and we know it's the word of God because it is vindicated. Now, let's keep reading. Now, it was not written for his sake, no. And being fully persuaded what he promised, he had to perform. Therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Man alive, Abraham right there, and God comes down flanked by two angels. And he's given credit for complete righteousness for believing it. That this is the hour, he said, of my wife's and my resurrection. Our bodies changed to bring forth that son. A church changed in the flesh to bring forth God. Why, listen, if he couldn't believe that, what's he going to believe? He said, well, man, that's not hard to believe. You mean to say I stand right here in that kind of faith of Abraham by believing a vindication of this hour? Well, I don't see any way you could be any different. Now notice, but also for us to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. If we believe on him, what are you talking about? Under these conditions right here. Because that's the one who came down to set the church in order. Can you believe on him? See, people aren't doing it. They're in a fog. You know what it's going to be? 20 more years before the bride gets out of here. You may look at me as though I don't know what I'm talking about. I don't, but I do know what I'm talking about. The way we're going right now, it's going to be 20 more years. Unless something really strikes our hearts. See, well, we get a little glimpse every now and then. Somebody gets here. We appreciate that. We know what we're talking about. We know what we're dealing with here. But listen, I'm going to tell you. It's not as real as it should be. It's not as real as it's going to be. See? Not written for his sake alone. Is imputed, but it was imputed to him. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. Now it tells you right there, in the book of Ephesians, the first chapter, 17th verse, the one that raised him up from the dead. Can you believe in it? Brother Branham was so sold on that, and so sold on that, and the people just go, oh, well, well. And I'm afraid the spirit of the world's got a hold of us. We don't have the same spirit that William Branham had as to his utter conviction of Abraham. What's going to do it? God's going to do it, brother, sister. Now, who delivered us from our offenses and raised again for justification? Now, notice what he said. Let's go to chapter 5. And we'll be able to quit right away here. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace when we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, we glory in tribulation, knowing the tribulation work of patience, experience. I mean, that's, well, it's not experience so much, it's, oh, I forget the the word has to do with the idea that you understand what you're going through and all. It does a work in your life. And it then works hope. And hope make not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which was given us. Now, this tells us right here that there is a walk in faith whereby we begin to add, as Peter said concerning the virtues, we begin to cause the faith that's in us to come into a more compelling position. In other words, look, as we look at the message and hear it, and we talk it, and we realize more and more that it's based upon a perfect vindication, as Brother Branham said, we have the perfect revelation hour, identifying with it, talking it, it begins to increase as the pressure comes toward us. The great battle of our minds, like outside influences and various thoughts, discouraging things come our way. You just dig your heels in, and you just stand there with the Word of God, and it begins to move. It becomes a muscular exercise in spiritual things. Your spiritual muscles become enlarged. Your spiritual faith becomes enlarged. And you notice what it does. It goes all the way from faith through a process of an earnest expectation, which absolutely gives way to the love of God, which is the Holy Ghost dominating our lives. Now, where do you start in a Holy Ghost-dominated life? It starts in this age in a vindicated message. And that's what must be in the heart. That's what gives us the light. Because if you're not 100% sold on vindication, a prophet coming back and telling everything, even to the creation of squirrels, which, as I say in my books, can that be possibly greater than when a microphone cord is wrapped around Brother Branham's 2 feet? And I watched that thing. Did it disintegrate and come together? Tell me what happened. What happened? The man didn't move and the cord didn't move. Nothing in my hand moved. He said, well, I think maybe that's hallucination. Good for you, I was there. It's not hallucination. I don't hallucinate. I'm a very poor person. I don't have imagination either. I can tell a $1 bill from a $2 bill. I never kid myself unless I'm crooked or somebody gives me a bargain that $1 buys as much as $2. I know what happened. I couldn't be more convinced what squirrels created under my nose than what I saw right there. But if I can believe that, I can believe squirrels being created. I can believe in a vindicated Word of God. And that's that light that takes you to the big light. If you cannot assimilate vindication, that's why I've been preaching it very strong for months now. But I can see every sermon is leading more and more into it, where Brother Branham knew his vindication and the power of it in his very own life. Now, this is one complete view of the day star and the day. And you have the other meanings coming out, as we see, Scripture has all Scripture has compound meanings. And you'll find here that Brother Branham will be going back and forth with some of his thoughts on what the day star is and the day. But you'll always come to the understanding this. It's got to be shalom is because Christ is in the midst of his people, vindicating, backing up his own word. That is your light, brother, sister, and the rest don't see it. And when they saw it, it didn't register. Like when the shepherds saw the birth, came to the birth, and the wise men came to worship. They forgot it. They even forgot the star of the innocence. They turned from it. But there were a few people that understood vindication. Brother, sister, I trust the word of that few people here in this country. In America, around the world, out of going on to 6 billion people, we understand vindication. Let it rise in our hearts. Shalom. He is amongst us, vindicating his word. Now, his word's vindicated, but he hasn't gone. How can you stand with Abraham, right ready for the burning, the whole thing, knowing that he's coming back soon to take us away in the millennium? Let's rise and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we've looked at this thing as many ways as we can, and we trust, Lord, it was clear enough and inspiration enough for the people to understand what we're saying. Scripture after scripture, Lord, showing the pattern and showing, Lord, that this is the hour that prophecy is. We have a prophecy that's made more sure to us. Coming up, and here it is, Lord, at this very hour. And Father, it's very difficult for us as people, having read the Bible and the things in it, to not look back and say, well, what he did back there, if he'd only do today. And what a miscalculated thing that is, because, Father, we know that you did the same thing today. And the power of the Holy Spirit with the prophet standing there. We know, Lord, that it was a greater ministry because you said he that believeth will do greater things than these. And we know that happened, Father. We know it did. Because what can we say? But Lord, the big thing is got to be more and more real to us. So we pray that the day star rise in our hearts, turning the hearts of the children back to the fathers, knowing that's what it means. We can understand vindication, Lord. God proving himself, proving his word. And Lord, we know we're going to stand like Abraham. And we're going to be here on this earth, Lord, when all the rest come out of the ground to join us, and we ascend to the great wedding supper, where all the others, no doubt, will be collected also in that great and wonderful day. Father, if there's any things in our minds, channels to our soul, anything at all that's clogging the way, so there's something stopping up us from receiving the dynamism, the impact of vindication, Father, we are not so gross, but what we know, we need help. We have enough light to say, give us more light. Enough understanding to give us more understanding. Enough truth to say, give us more truth, O God, and dynamize it to such a condition that though the world would turn, whatever they might do to us, Lord, they crucified Peter and Andrew, chopped off Paul's head, finally had to leave John go. But many people were destroyed, always have been destroyed for the word, Lord. But Father, if the light of the word was enough then, the day star, the vindication, the light was enough then, it's more than enough now. Because we've seen the great works that culminate at the end time. Let there not be one person here, Lord, not even a child, that misses the understanding that's before us. And this hour, Lord, that the day star amongst us has risen. And I trust it's risen within our hearts, the way Peter said. That the very core and fiber of our being is motivated by this reality. We have seen you appear in our midst. And you appeared not only in signs and wonders, but you had your very picture taken. And thousands saw the great descent, Lord, with the cloud of angels. And thousands in Tucson saw the pillar of fire out there on the mountain. And also saw that dark cloud moving up and down as it did in the days of Moses, Lord. Knowing that truly we have come to the end of time and into the very millennium. Lord, where we are not enthused and we are not in a place of rapture concerning this and a place of great faith, help us. Now, you've heard our prayer, Lord. We're just turning it all over to you. That you work that work through your word. Now, unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let's sing, take the name of Jesus with you.